Well, we just saw
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I liked it. It's not Dune 2.
No.
Not even close.
Here's a better comparison. It's not Bullet Train.
It's not Bullet Train, but I don't think it was trying to be Bullet Train, though.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be a lighthearted comedy action movie.
Which, I think it's unfair to compare it to Bullet Train, because I don't think... What's something that's more apples to apples?
Inglourious Basterds. Which is also not.
I think Inglourious Basterds was less of a version of... It is neither Bullet Train nor Inglourious Basterds. However, it is the middle brother between the two.
Sure.
Because...
if you want to compare it to another Guy Ritchie movie, you should say Sherlock Holmes, which is also not.
It's not... well, it's not as stylized. Actually, you know what it is?
I don't think I would know this was a Guy Ritchie movie unless you told me.
It's a better version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I didn't see that.
Okay, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. also starred Henry Cavill and was a Guy Ritchie movie. And... it had the... Guy Ritchie has, like, two styles. He has his,
Layer Cake.
No, that wasn't him, though. Layer Cake was Matthew Vaughn.
Damn it.
It's not, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It's not, Snatch.
Yeah.
It's not those.
It's Revolver. Revolver is between that... those... Did you see Statham trilogy.
Well, did you see Wrath of Man?
No.
Okay, Wrath of Man is not bad. It's... Guy Ritchie does really good B-movies. Where, don't get me wrong, like, they're not great, like, scripts. They're not, like, they are well shot, but they're not... they're, like, standard shot. But they're better than, I feel like Hallmark movies are the bottom of the barrel for, like, just well-made movies.
I wouldn't call a Hallmark movie a well-made movie.
They're not, well...
if you mean a movie with some production value, then I would agree.
That's what I'm saying. Like they do the job. Like, a Hallmark movie is made to make you not think about your problems. It's like, of course the bake sale is going to solve all the problems by the end of the fucking thing. This is a step up from that, because, of course, the operation's successful. Like,
well, I mean, it's historical.
It's historical, but at the same time, though, like, four of the people are confirmed real. Five.
Yeah. No, four were.
Okay.
Well, okay, five were.
Okay.
If you count the actress.
Yes. So the actress was confirmed real, so she had a role in the actual historical thing.
I was going through my head. Who wasn't in that last real?
Well, none of the black people were.
Well, no.
So,
but also not the frog guy.
So Freddie, whether he was real or not, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. He wasn't mentioned at the end.
He wasn't mentioned at the end. So let's go, like, real people. Starting from the top, Winston Churchill, real.
Like, well, yeah, even though he's never mentioned by name, he's only ever called the Prime Minister, and he doesn't look all that similar. He's just fat, and he's in the right position.
Yeah, when he has his glasses on, it kind of looks like him, but I feel like that's just the glasses doing their work.
I feel like... I don't know. I think it's more of a... it's weird. I don't think he's a very good portrayal of Winston Churchill. But he does hit all the beats of Winston Churchill, but he doesn't quite.
I'm not a Winston Churchill expert, so...
neither am I, which is why I think it's weird that he's like, that doesn't sound like Winston Churchill.
So we're only...
why do I know what Winston Churchill sounds like enough to say that doesn't sound like Winston Churchill?
So we're comparing him to John Lithgow, we're comparing him to...
I'm comparing him to historical recordings and whatnot that I've heard.
The most I've ever experienced with Winston Churchill for real, like, without, like, Hollywood cinema, is, like, the Winston Churchill, like witticisms. It's like,
There's a good deal of Winston Churchill in The King's Speech.
There is, and also, what's that Gary Oldman Winston Churchill movie?
Gary Oldman Winston Churchill. Probably something I didn't see.
Okay. You might... it was a big movie a few years ago, and it was, like, one of the ones that Gary Oldman says, like, yeah, I'm just going to do a couple shitty movies that I could be in and out on, but I'm going to retire. Like... You know what? I saw just like a tangent. Hmm. I saw a list of people that are like treasures that are like either 70s or above. Like national treasures. Like, yeah. Dolly Parton is a national treasure. Morgan Freeman is kind of in the in that category. Jack Nicholson is on that list. There was about 20 other people. I don't remember seeing Gary Oldman on there, but like,
I don't know why Jack Nicholson's on there.
I
can see it, but I don't really. I wouldn't put him on there. I would put him on there if I was to put Gary Oldman on there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put Gary Oldman on there, so I would put Jack Nicholson on there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, Gene Hackman. Well, retired actors, like, you don't think about them.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes. Just, like, consistently does good work. Certain actors are legends to me. Not for, like, how good they were, but how good they were for how long they were good.
Yeah.
Peter O'Toole. Like, I think his last movie was Ratatouille, where he did the film critic.
Okay.
And just, like, this guy, like, because, like some people are, like, look at voice acting as just, like, a step down.
I'm blanking on the name, but Sauron.
I know who you're talking about. He is the guy that I always get mixed up with.
I think he was in this ministry, but just not listed yet. The actual real person.
The actual real person?
Was like, somewhere part of this, maybe not this mission.
Well, at a certain point, you have, like, the World War II vets that were actors as well.
Yeah.
And...
Well, he was... he has said that he wasn't a soldier.
Yeah.
I think what it was he would... He was like the actress. He would go and seduce people's wives to humiliate them.
How have they not made that movie where it's just like the guy who is supposed to take down German wives, behind enemy lines, and just like...
Well, probably not behind enemy lines, but like this movie where it's a Panama or Palma. La Palma.
I'll give Guy Ritchie... Well, that's the other thing that felt cheap about this movie is that, like, other than a couple location shots, which I don't think there were really location shots, but I take that back. It feels like they built a small town, or at least put a fresh coat of paint on somewhere, and just, like, did, like, old practical... Because the issue I have...
I couldn't say that any of this was CG.
No.
Maybe some of the planes.
The
or the boats.
I would say maybe the boats for sure. The one scene where it's the British boat versus
the
U-boat. Yeah, not even the sailboat. Like the sailboat off the.
There's probably CG there.
But
obviously,
like they probably CG'd the platform so all the guys were sitting. Now that it could be cheaper to just find an old ship museum and do that.
Oh,
get the upshot of all the guys and have the downshot be a stage.
I think it's easier to dress up a different boat like one of those boats.
Yes.
Than it is to get a museum boat to blow up.
Well, not museum boat to blow up, but I'm just talking about the shot of like they're all on the side.
I think it would be easier to just dress up another boat like that, one of those boats, you know, like just with a wood exoskeleton that looks like a tugboat or something.
Well, the interesting thing about practical effects is that, which by the way, like I was having this thought the other day, I'll keep up to date on certain people, like certain videos and topics on AI stuff.
Sure.
I'll always check in on. So there was this one Chinese film design guy on YouTube. FZDN, I think, design or something, school, FZDN school. Either way, he was talking about like things that AI can't do, and he was talking about how because everything, the stuff he was going by was all like generated images, who knows what, where he just went on Pinterest. He didn't like mess around with it himself, but he was talking about like how like AI is basically like exhibit from Pimp My Rides, like, hey, I heard you wanted a apple. Well, you have apples on apples now. Or, you're trying to generate, like, the interior of a cockpit, and there would just be 100 dials. on the thing, and it wouldn't actually be a functional thing. So he was talking about, like, it doesn't generate things in 3D, it doesn't line up in the matches, all that stuff.
There's definitely, there's tricks to being able to spot AI images, even really good ones. A lot of them are just, like, things aren't... Like, if you make a suit of armor, you'll look at the gauntlets, and the gauntlets will look nice, but be different.
Yes.
The shoulder pauldrons will have different styles to them.
Which I don't want to start an AI conversation, but like,
we should talk about the movie.
But here's what
is a whole thing about Meta releasing a whole bunch of shit, but we should push that off.
We'll say that to another day. The only reason I brought up that stuff and the guy I was talking about is that when the technology changes so that everyone shifts over to a new tool that makes it easier, when you actually specialize in the old tools. Like, you actually become more valuable because in filmmaking, practical effects cost more than CG. Like,
it can't be true anymore.
You would think that, but, like, in terms of, like, why no one does it, because, like, it's cheaper to have shitty CG graphics that fill the need, but don't do the job. Like, I'm trying to think of, like,
I'm thinking about Marvel movies and stuff like that, where the reason that they have CG is so they can be indecisive until the last fucking second.
But even that, like, I'm not even talking about those, just because,
if you're talking about, like, something like Godzilla Minus One.
As shitty as the Marvel CG is, like, so many so many movies that are cheaply made.
Sure.
And, like, because I have, like, family that'll watch the worst. I'll turn movies off. Not this person. This person will just sit through it, put on the next
recommended. I've never turned a movie off.
I have. And it's just like, if I pay for a movie, I'll sit through the whole thing. But if it's on and I picked it, like, no, I have.
My roommate bought a movie on Amazon once. It turned out that he bought it on my account because he thought that he could just log into the profile and be on his account, not that he was on his profile on my account. No, this is my roommate.
Okay.
And,
so he was on his profile, but it was your account.
My account, so it was my money that he was spending. Anyway, it was $5. It wasn't a big deal.
Oh, I got you beat, though. My dad did that to me. He bought a... episode of it was like remember the closer starring Kira Sedgwick.
No.
Well,
I know the name. I never saw
so anyway, when Kira Sedgwick was on Major Crimes, when Kira Sedgwick was on the show, it was the closer. When she left the show along with J.K. Simmons, it became Major Crimes because the remainder of the cast stayed on, and they just went on for another few more seasons, and it wasn't bad. It brought new life to it, but at the same time, though, like that only for so long. I'm checking my Amazon account one day, and I find $10 for one show, one episode that he had to watch, and then I'm like, what the? Like the whole season was $5. You spent $10 on an episode. It's like, if you're going
to
spend
was
my money...
Was it to rent at that?
I think so.
Oh, man.
But either way...
I could own the whole season for $5 or rent one episode for 2 days for $10.
Oh, do you one better. If he had just watched it on a different streamer that we already pay for, he would have gotten it for free.
All right, but so my roommate, he buys this movie. It's like something midnight after blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what it's called. You don't know this movie.
Not Paris After Midnight?
No.
Midnight in Paris?
No. There's no Paris.
Okay, there's no Paris.
So he buys...
Midnight Meat Train?
No.
Okay.
You don't know this movie.
Who's in it?
No. Nobody.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
He buys this movie. It's like a werewolf movie. And he starts showing it to us. Like, watch the trailer. The trailer's so good. So, like, we all pile in the living room and start watching this movie. And it's like the... best of the worst movies that Red Letter Media watches.
Yep.
It's so cheap.
Yep.
It's just some guys grandma's house, like that, like has a lot of farmland around it.
Now, was that his argument that it was the trailer was so
he
good?
He didn't realize. He's like, what is this?
Yeah.
This isn't anything like the trailer. And then he turned it off, and I'm like, what are you doing? We're watching that movie. Put it back on. We're watching this tonight.
Yeah.
Shitty werewolf mask and all.
So I can give you a couple of those. So me and my dad really will watch together foreign action movies. Now, he went on Amazon or whatever and bought cheap ones. And I knew they were cheap because, you know, like, we get, like, you know, those plastic DVD cases that, like, that every DVD has, like, that, like,
the
that black
thick,
box.
The thick DVD case or the thin DVD case?
It's the thick DVD case. This one comes in hard plastic, thin.
All right.
Like, this is the kind of thing they would, like, somebody, like, took out of a rental place and never returned and just sold it online.
Not like the Spider-Man 2 that came with the PlayStation.
Nope, I'm talking like foreign.
All right. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
So anyway.
I can only imagine thin disc case.
These movies are 59 minutes.
Like a CD case?
Like that kind of plastic, but like smaller than a DVD case. It's like a DVD case and a CD case, like I got together and had a child.
I mean, like, CD cases are smaller than CD cases.
Not square, like a CD, but, like, rectangular.
All right.
Smaller than a regular DVD case, but heavy, like, heavy-duty plastic.
Okay. I guess I'll have to see it someday.
I think I still have them. But anyway, they were so bad that he chucked them, and I was like, nope. And mind you, they were bad. Like, I'm talking, like late 90s Japanese... If you told me that the Yakuza, like, produced it as a tax write-off, I would believe you.
They probably did.
Yeah.
You've heard about Uma Musume, right?
You know
the gacha games?
Yes.
Like Arc Knights, Blue Archive, really popular right now. Just got an anime. All that jazz. FGO.
Yeah.
Uma Musume is the horse racing anime girls.
I know what you're talking about now.
They got the horse ears. The Yakuza own that. And they tried to stop people making porn of it.
Really?
And they didn't realize that most of these people on Pixiv aren't in Japan. So they sent out all these threats, and people were like, cool story, bro.
Try and find me in Ukraine.
Try to find me in Sudan.
I'm making
the boobs extra big now.
So, all right.
To the movie.
So... We're not doing justice to that this is a good movie because I was genuinely thrilled.
I liked it.
Yes.
I would watch it again.
Yes.
There's not a lot to it.
It's that. And also, there's only a handful of times where it feels like there's stakes. Like, it feels like there's stakes early on, but what was the one dude's kill streak in the entire movie? Because I don't think he missed a single arrow.
Lassen?
Yeah.
He wasn't in the movie to miss.
He wasn't in the movie to miss, but...
Like, he was in the movie to be funny.
But at the same time, though, like, there were jokes and there were funny things. Who was funnier, like him or Cavill?
I think Henry Cavill was funnier.
Yes.
I think Lassen did funny things.
Yes. Like, when he, when he goes from the knife to the axe. Like, that was a little bit funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I thought him stabbing things was hilarious because
yes.
You can't see the knife because it's so small compared to him. But it's a normal army knife.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out when he did this movie. If he did it between the two seasons of Reacher that he's done or...
Lassen?
Yes. Well, his real name is Alan Richson. He's been in a bunch of things, dude. Like, he was in Titans on DC Direct.
Didn't see it.
So he played a superhero in that. Did you see the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Turtles movie with Megan Fox?
I want to say yes.
Right, he was Raphael.
Oh, well, okay. That helps.
Well, he was in a green suit, but...
In a green suit that was 90% CG.
Yeah, but it was his voice, though.
And sure.
It, like, and they motion captured his performance. So,
I want to point out, because you mentioning him, his voice reminded me that he speaks Swedish. The amount of, like, language switching in this, I like.
Yeah.
However, they do that thing in the beginning where the actress chick, Marjorie, is speaking English to the Nazi captain.
Yeah.
And the Nazi captain is speaking German back to her. And they clearly both know English and German.
Yep.
But instead of, you know, picking one, they just speak English and German.
How familiar are you with World War II spycraft? Because I feel like I watched a couple of like documentaries on it, or
I watched. I've seen. I've read a lot of the historical things. Not all about spycraft specifically,
right.
But there was also that Mad Lads on the. Because
the train scene, I did enjoy.
Oh, you mean the thing where they stole the briefcase and nobody noticed for like 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah, that. I enjoyed it, but...
The thing where it was completely reliant on one of the German soldiers being belligerent to Marjorie.
Well, not even that. It was
100% reliant on that. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to steal the briefcase. If he didn't get up and start insisting that she join them where there's no chairs...
Yep.
Then that
they were in a train car. She could have sat down with them, but
no,
there
wasn't space. It was full.
I'm willing to bet they would have tried to make room in that situation, but
yeah, it's like, Franz, get up, give the lady your seat. Blah 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 blah.
Exactly.
However, they also knew English fluent enough to understand her speak German back to her.
Well, was out of curiosity, was that one dude the Herr Lehrer? Was that? Was that the dude from Inglourious Basterds?
Was Lur from Inglourious? Oh!
Was he
the bear?
No, the bear was, fucking...
Oh, no, not the bear. The guy, Stiglitz.
Yes.
Maybe!
He had the same haircut, so that it might be as simple as that.
He had that kind of, like, Willem Dafoe wrinkly face,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he had that German face.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you see, like, an old German movie...
He was mute, wasn't he, in Inglourious Basterds, right? Because they hanged him?
He didn't speak. I don't know if he was mute, but I figure... Well, I can't tell if, like... Was it Brad Pitt that had the noose, like, under his throat?
I don't think it was a noose. I think he had his throat slit.
I couldn't tell you. But...
Like an Indian thing.
Yeah, it was definitely that.
Anyway,
but he had that haircut, he had that face. And I could have.
It could have been.
How many years has it been since Inglourious Basterds? 10 plus.
Probably.
15.
I don't think Inglourious Basterds from 2010. All right, how was it before or after Star Trek? Must have been after Star Trek, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I know it was like 3 Tarantino movies ago. Because Tarantino did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then before they did Hateful Eight. Django was before.
No, after.
Really?
Pretty sure.
I'm not sure about that. Because I think he followed up Inglourious Basterds with Django, and then did Hateful Eight, but I'm not
sure.
That's
what I said.
All right, so we're getting ourselves confused here. You're right. Either way,
things we could look up.
It takes Tarantino like 4 years to make a movie, so that's where I'm gonna say 12 years ago.
That would be after Star Trek, at least, which would make sense because that would be 2012.
Okay, and then so actually, the only reason why. No, Inglourious Basterds came out when we were in college, so it had to be around 2011-ish.
Well, I say Star Trek, it's Star Trek 09. I remember when Star Trek came out exactly, because it is Star Trek 09.
Okay. All right. That works.
This movie.
Yep.
I like the cast.
Cast is good.
The actress is kind of... meh. And I keep calling her the actress because in the movie she is an actress. Marjorie.
Marjorie? Alright, so I didn't. If I could have, like,
she kind of seemed like a discount Gal Gadot.
I wouldn't disagree with you, because I got the same vibe. But I don't want to say that what she had to do was, like, easy.
I think what she,
had to do was simple. Like, be charming.
Hers was probably the most confusing role, but also the most simple role.
Yes.
Because all she had to do was seduce Lore.
Yep, be a distraction. That's
yeah.
Be a distraction, seduce.
I didn't think it would be that difficult to do, but it seemed to be very difficult to do because all the tense music played on her scenes. Like, distracting a guy for 2 hours was the most difficult thing in the world.
I think they were smart to have her shook in that one scene. Because, like, it did add to the stakes of it. Okay, so it goes...
Because people don't know. They didn't watch it.
Right, okay, so she meets him.
Who?
Lure. He's the guy in charge.
It's towards the beginning of the movie. They're in La Palma. Heron, who was Janice from Dune.
Yeah.
And Marjorie.
Really? How old is Janice in... I know
he's the guy who fought Paul.
Oh, I know who Janice is, but I'm okay. So he felt older in this movie than he did in that movie.
No, it was about the same.
Okay.
I mean, they must have shot them similarly because he was also in Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
In parts. Okay. In some, like, alt history vision that Paul was having.
Which, yeah. Okay.
It's the first time I've ever seen that train.
And, of course, it's in the background.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. They can hear us.
So it's Heron, played by the guy who played Janice.
Okay.
I don't remember his name. And Marjorie. You're supposed to stop me. Going to La Palma to meet the... They said, you gotta... That's the guy that you gotta meet. He's the only thing worse than a Nazi. And they don't tell us what he is, ever.
Yeah. And he's never in uniform, either.
He has a pin.
He has a pin.
He's a pin.
But he's never in uniform.
I have no idea what he does unless he's just a gold merchant. Because it seems like all he does.
You know the guy in Indiana Jones that worked with the Nazis but wasn't a Nazi?
Yeah, but I don't know what Lore does. I don't know why he's there. I don't know why he's important. I don't know why they don't just kill him in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
What is his position that makes it so that he personally must be distracted instead of just killed?
Yeah.
When they could have easily killed him. Okay, so they go and they go to La Palma to blow up this ship. It's a ship that has the supply, apparently has all the supplies for all of the U-boats on it.
Yep.
Okay. It's an Italian ship. So they want Heron, who owns all the bars and casinos in La Palma,
yeah,
to throw two parties, one for all the officers, one for all the soldiers.
Yep.
So that when all the shit goes down, they're all partying, and the only person who doesn't party is this Lore.
Yeah. So her job is to get him to the party.
And keep him there for a couple hours. If he's the only one not at the party,
yeah,
he's the alone, essentially.
Easier to kill, yep.
And you can just kill him.
Yep.
Which they have no problems with. They have zero issue killing people.
Which, by the way,
they kill so many people in this movie.
I wanted to ask you, do you think they just, like, hey... Like, are we, like, just rooting for a total asshole? Like, do we just, like, let the one kid Nazi live or whatever?
A lot of the Nazis were conscripts.
So
there's one sailor in, like, the stereotypical sailor suit.
Yep. Probably 14 years old.
The actor looked like early 20s.
I would say 18 at most.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you can go. When, like, half the people that they killed are probably the same age.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like, I was, but the, it was the, like, everybody else, like, efficiently and silently killed, which was thrilling to see them do it in the manner in which they did. Like,
it was very lackadaisical. All right. Effortless.
Okay, it was effortless, but, and it was like, a little bit more effort.
They kill so many people in this movie. Like, they put Arnold, like, they go toe-to-toe with an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
In just the number of people that are just gunned down.
Yes. But, I will say this, like, it's, like, meaningfully gunned down?
Yeah, it makes sense. I would need to go.
I would love to see Mahler take apart yeah, like,
exactly,
this movie.
Exactly.
I would love to see this. This is the next Mahler movie I'm hoping for. I'm on this one.
I would have to go through the movie again and be like, a lot of the kills are seemingly logical. Let's say that.
There's no refrigerator logic, meaning like you go to the refrigerator in the middle of the night to grab a snack. This is a Hitchcock term. Like he would describe it when he was making his movies. It's like, wait a second, what about the thing they don't know how long a timer was on a bomb. Like,
I would imagine that the bombs that they did not know how long they're supposed to go off were A, very quickly made.
Yep.
Because they had to change the plans.
Yep.
And B, fuses were made by people who were not the explosives guy.
Okay.
So I can see not. Plus, they didn't like time it. They just like went, that's good.
Yep.
And they don't have like, they're not sitting there staring at their watch. Like, it'll go off in 10, 9. No, they're just like, so we cut the fuses to about this long. They should be going off about now. Hopefully they go off a little sooner.
Well, the two times that they worked with it, I feel like it worked well in the movie. Because you have the first scene where you're introduced to everybody. And the guy was like, it's like, how long did you give them? And meanwhile, the Nazis are firing their guns, very big guns at them that are going right over their heads, which you would think they would have had it by the second shot, not the third or fourth.
I thought that Henry Cavill just kind of standing in the open was a little silly because, you know, you want to take cover because any one of those bullets could hit you. Even if they're unlikely to statistically.
Yeah.
However, I also thought that Henry Cavill was doing it because he was pretending to be a commissar in his head. By the way, Henry Cavill is dressed as a 40K commissar for more than half of the movie, and he does not take it off.
I think he...
The hat... If the hat was red...
It would have been perfect.
He would have just been a commissar.
Now, okay, so this is my one issue with the movie. If I had to put it into words why, like, it's, like, not, like, better than it is, even though it's good, like, it's a solid movie. There's so little characterization in terms of, like, depth. It's very shallow.
It's very shallow.
It's very shallow characters.
I would say that everybody's very well characterized.
Yes, they're well characterized, but they're shallow.
Maybe not Hayes and Freddy. But everybody else very well characterized.
One of the sources of drama from the movie is that like there are people that will have Churchill like surrender to the Germans.
What I think really makes the movie lack stakes is that all of the Nazi soldiers have the stormtrooper issue. where they're all so incompetent that our main characters can defeat them easily and comedically. Like when Heron is setting that bomb and he's jumped by three Nazi soldiers with guns drawn and pointed at him.
Yep.
He gets out of it easily by drawing his Derringer with guns pointed at him, aiming at the guys with the guns pointed at him, and shooting them while they have their guns pointed at him.
Yeah, that scene felt clunky to me.
It was bad. It's called bad. It was a bad scene.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be there. There didn't need to be those forced stakes. Nobody needed to find him.
And plus,
it didn't change anything.
What did he do with the bodies that like no one discovered?
I imagine if nobody found that obviously placed bomb, nobody went in there.
Well, not even that. Like it's a... I know enough about...
Also, he could have just dragged them out of there, or dragged them to a storage closet. We didn't, like... There's a lot of time for him to fix that.
He just left them there.
He could have... Like, we didn't see... The place was, for some reason, empty when he got there. And the bomb went off that night.
So...
It's the power depot for the entire town. You'd think there would be people there just kind of watching
saying.
It.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but there's nobody there. I don't know why there's nobody there.
Yep.
But it's a scene that we didn't really need. That could have been like a 2-second, you know, Ocean's 11 scene slide in. We see him placing the bomb. Scene slides away. We show to go to somewhere else.
It was an excuse to have the guy have some fun. Because
it was like an excuse for Heron to shoot someone.
Yeah. So, like...
But in doing so, you had the Nazis be exceptionally incompetent.
But I will say this, though. It was hilarious to see a cowboy and Frankenstein complaining to the Nazi and have them, like...
I don't know when she changed her dress. Because
that was another issue
what,
I had.
What?
The
officers.
Cleopatra to Marilyn Monroe.
The officers' party was a costume party.
Yeah.
And Marjorie went to Herr Lohr's mansion.
House, whatever.
It's technically a mansion, I guess.
Manor,
whatever. House. She goes to his place. Dressed in the skimpiest fucking Cleopatra costume I've ever seen in a historical piece.
She is
half naked.
Now,
if not more.
I only say this because I've done enough visual research. Not, like, I haven't read any books, but I've read... Like, I don't know like how they made the costumes, but knowing what I know about like old burlesque and old costumes...
Sure.
Like, that seems fairly... But where you lost me, though, was, like, she had a costume change for her, like, impromptu performance.
Not only that, she insists, demands that Lore put on a Caesar costume.
Yep.
They get to the party, and, like, 20 minutes later, she is now in a normal fancy dress, and he's still dressed as Caesar.
And then, like...
That's kind of a dick move. And she's singing on stage. What is she supposed to be to Lore? Because when they first meet her...
It's a business, but it's also, like...
When they first meet Laura, she's introduced as some contract who wants to buy gold, or trade in gold, or move gold.
So,
I don't really know. But then, along the way, she doesn't talk business with him more than the one time. She's a singer. She shows up like a stripper.
And she wasn't the greatest singer.
She was good enough to be suspicious.
She was good. You know what it was? Like, the only reason why I think this was a thing back in the day was because that one episode of Mad Men. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
So there's an episode where after the main guy is separated from his wife, he has, like, an apartment. So it's his birthday. So his new girlfriend throws him a party and does, like, a performance. Like, gets a band in the... Motherfucker. But the,
dude, it literally went from there to there.
That is true.
Yeah.
Alright, so
Mad Men.
Well, anyway, And I guess it used to be a thing where just like for entertainment at a house party, people would just like, I know people sang, but but for you to be the singer.
So yes, you're right. Back in like that era,
yeah,
when you weren't like, you didn't have the radio on all the time, and there was no TV really.
Yep.
What people used to do at dinner parties to entertain is people would play instruments. They would bring either have instruments there, or they would bring. You remember those episodes of like I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
Where like they would all be sitting around, and Ricky would be playing the piano, or was it Lucy who played the piano?
Somebody played
the piano, and it was Fred and Myrtle doing like a Ethel playing like a banjo and like a trumpet. That's what shit used to be for entertainment at dinner parties. You used to go and oh, what do you guys want to do? Oh, let's play something.
Now, God bless them. Like, I don't know how long they, how many. I all right. One of the problems with the movie is that they go from all right. Like, it happens in 15 days. It's like, oh, well, we're actually leaving in 3 days earlier now. It's like, all right, get them word. Now, mind you, that makes sense.
Hold on. Right. This is a big part in the movie where the ship, turns out, ship was reinforced. Before that, they've got to hurry up to get to the place because ship's leaving 3 days early.
Yep.
So the ship is now getting stocked and retrofit for having extra plating.
Yep.
3 days before they were originally supposed to be leaving.
Yeah.
So now they're doing extra work in less time.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, well, wait, when did all this get done? And so when the characters in the movie, Henry Cavill and his crew, learn about this, all of them start going, well, when did they have time to do that? And Henry Cavill, he's just very upset that the mission is ruined, and everybody else is still going on. Like, no, but really, when did they? How did they have the time? Where did this happen? When did all this go on? And Henry Cavill just shuts down the conversation. Like, it doesn't matter. I thought that was weird, funny, but weird. It's like you have a clear plot hole here. You've recognized that you have a clear plot hole, but you didn't fix it. So you made fun of it.
Well, God bless him for doing that. I don't know if they'll... I almost want... Like, I'm afraid to... Not afraid to, but I would probably enjoy it.
I'm sure that actually, like, all happened like, in what, history. Where
whatever it, the whatever the book is called, I don't know, but it's based on Operation Postmaster.
Yeah.
Like, I want to read that book now. Just...
Is it an Ian Fleming book?
I doubt it. Because, like, supposedly, it became declassified in 2016.
16?
Yes.
Jesus.
Well, I don't... You never know. I mean, I don't know why. Like, they could just classify a document and just be like, all right, for the next 50 years, that's 60 years, like, just when everyone's going to be dead. Like, that's... Because, like, who knows? Because one of the problems with, like, them going into the colony that the mission takes place is that it's controlled by Spain. Like, yeah, Spain's not going to really give a fuck about it in 60 years. Like, but if we come out right now, I'm sure someone's going to have an issue with it. So, yeah, that's...
Well, things get classified for that long all the time. And then reclassified.
Reclassified,
blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And then...
It's like, we don't feel like releasing this now.
Yeah.
Reclassified.
And then it's like, So, all right.
But, did you have any strong feelings about the music?
So,
I didn't.
Guy Ritchie, one of his other movies was Wrath of Man. And it's a Jason Statham movie. It's pretty solid of a movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like this. Like there's a lot of things that are action-packed, and, like, there's a lot of, like...
Imagine like, Jason Statham trying to pull off a posh finishing school accent.
I think he might be able to do it. Like, it'll go against, like, his brand, But, like, if there was ever going to be a role where Jason Statham... you know what the best Jason Statham movie is?
Like, Snatch?
Maybe.
Revolver?
There was the bank heist.
Okay.
Where do you remember that one? Where it's like,
no.
Okay, it's like 1960s, like Princess Margot went topless in the Bahamas. So they have photos of it. And like their job is to steal those photos and bring them back to, so the mob is after them, MI6 is after them. The guys that they robbed are after them. And he's got to make a clear getaway out of there. He's like a retired thief, but they're like, hey, we got one more job for you. Like, that, off the top of my head, that is my favorite Jason Statham movie. It has everything that you want out of a Jason Statham movie.
Like The Transporter.
Transporter might be his best movie, though. Like, the first one...
I've seen them. They're not great.
They're not great, but, like, the first Transporter...
I think Revolver and Snatch and Lock, Stock all are better Jason Statham movies. Even if you don't count Snatch as a Jason Statham movie, clearly Lock, Stock isn't really a Jason Statham movie. Revolver is absolutely a Jason Statham movie.
I'm not sure... Well, Revolver, definitely. But Revolver, like... Guy Ritchie will attempt things, and I'll give him credit for it, but unfortunately, it's not, like, Revolver is like one of those ones where it's like, good attempt, but...
Revolver's great.
It is? Is it great in that Red Letter Media great, or is it great in that...
No, it's an actually really well-made movie.
Okay.
It explores a lot of philosophical ideas. And it's generally very well written.
Okay. Well, I'm never sure. Because, like, if something bugs me, like, and I can't put into words about Revolver, I don't even remember the plot of it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Revolver? The guy is in jail, and the two master thieves are passing notes back and forth between each other in the library books, and he starts just reading their all their shit between the two of them.
Yeah.
And that leads him to become a very, I don't know. He does a lot of jobs for these two guys once he gets out of prison.
Yeah.
And he has a very, he goes through ego death.
Yeah.
Where he realizes a lot of the things along the way that he's been doing just pride and his ego literally screaming at him to do this and that. And he realizes that the best thing that he can do is to just let it go. Let the grudge go that he had with this one guy.
Okay, I remember that part.
That's the end of the movie.
Okay. So, alright.
I'm not doing it justice.
Well, anyway, so when Wrath of Man is playing, there's this overbearing orchestral music and, old-fashioned, and it's just like, it works for the movie. However, it is borderline laughable how strong of a score it is for, like, the way, because it's a very serious presented movie.
A very seriously presented movie?
It's, you know what I'm talking about? There's no tongue-in-cheek in it. Like,
sure.
Wrath of Man has all the classic Guy Ritchie-isms in that, which, by the way, while we're talking Guy Ritchie, once I'm done making this point, ask me about The Gentleman.
People mention The Gentleman. I've never seen it.
Okay, so, first, the way the plot is presented is that you're introduced to Jason Statham.
Uh-huh.
He's this, like, guy, used to work at a now-defunct security company, and now he's trying to get a job. He's showing up, but there's something off about him. Like, you could tell that it's Jason Statham and being Jason Statham, but, like, when he's interviewing for the job, he's, like, barely passing, like, the shooting tests and the physical stuff. Like, he's not really, like, wowing him. An attack happens on the armored truck, because it's an armored truck company. So he takes out three guys, like Jason Statham style, gets it done. And then the plot focuses on another crew that are robbing the armor trucks. So then you find out those guys that robbed the armor trucks killed his son in a bid. And it turns out Jason Statham is actually a crime boss that went on a mission to find the men that killed his son. And it like plays out that way. So in terms of like Guy Ritchie movies, pretty damn good. And it's, I don't want to say John Wick, like it's not John Wick,
right?
But it's like there's like these John Wickisms. It's like the guys that are robbing the place actually have like Kevlar plated suits that are pretty bulletproof. It's not Kevlar vest, but it's like
you know, Kevlar is not a plate, right?
I know it's not a plate. Well, okay. Supposedly you can melt Kevlar down,
okay,
and make it into a plate. I'm not quite sure if that's an actual thing. But these guys just, and like, I almost want Guy Ritchie to make the North Hollywood Shootout story into a movie. Do you remember that one? Early 2000s?
No.
So, North Hollywood Shootout, these guys get, like, automatic weapons. Mm-hmm. Like, hardcore automatic weapons. Not like...
Not softcore automatic weapons.
No, in terms of, like... All right, let's say, like, a gun has a full auto section. No, these are, they're meant to be full auto. And, like, they shot 478 rounds at the police in this shootout.
Okay.
So they got body armor, they got steroids, they were going to rob the bank, but then LAPD shows up and pins them down. The LAPD runs out of bullets, goes into the gun store and gets more, and then until SWAT shows up. So, it was the first of its thing where like the cops realized, what the fuck is out there?
What year was this?
Early 2000s, maybe late 90s. Okay. I want to say it was 2005.
I vaguely remember this.
Okay.
It's probably what inspired Payday.
Probably. So the thing I would say is I would love to see Guy Ritchie make that movie. Because he does...
I think you get a lot of pushback trying to make that movie.
Maybe, but like I'm surprised it hasn't already been. But
Well, I mean, it's one event. I mean, there's probably a lot of planning that goes into it, but then like the pushback is probably going to be like you're making an instructional video kind of pushback.
I feel like it wouldn't be the first one that's ever been. But anyway, so there's gentlemen...
Is it a movie or a show?
It's a show. There's a Guy Ritchie movie called The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey, which I have not seen. But I want to track down because I want to see if there's any connection to the TV show. But the deals with weed in the UK. Both of them. I haven't watched the movie, so I can't really tell you. But it's an interesting premise. Because, like, you have all these, like, dukes and whatever that have, like, 1,500 acres of land, like, that are just, you know, private. No one goes on there. So they have a weed farm on these things.
I saw a trailer for this.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you just, like, present the criminal element as we're all businessmen here, which Guy Ritchie has a real knack for, like interesting crime characters.
Yeah.
But he only directs, I think, a couple of episodes. But like, and I don't know if he served as a showrunner on it or not.
I don't know. The way people were talking about it, seemed like it was a showrunner.
Okay, but either way, very good show. I think it's only 8 episodes, and they're all like a little under an hour.
Mm.
So it's basically a 8-hour long Guy Ritchie movie, and. Just like it hits the mark because interesting characters, good dialogue, there's comedy involved, like, but it's dark comedy,
uh-huh.
but like nothing too crazy. But at the same time though, it's got Giancarlo Esposito in it, and, like it has like a Breaking Bad connection, all that fun stuff. Like, not that there's a connection to Breaking Bad, but, like, when you're thinking about it, oh, he's doing a different version of that guy, huh? So. So, what are our concluding thoughts on Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
I like it. Like you said, earlier, I like it. I would watch it again. It's not anything groundbreaking.
Exactly.
It's kind of shallow. It's fun.
It's a fun movie. It's well made. The issues I have with it, like if this matters to anybody listening, they don't give you enough information on the characters, especially the villain, as we pointed out.
Now that I think about it, they are all just a bunch of kind of like good guys that are parading around as bad guys.
Yes, like, but I will say though, you don't know why Henry Cavill starts out in prison, like his character, because he was wearing a prison suit when he walked in. Remember?
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
That was a prison suit.
Remember the suit that he was wearing at the end and the beginning?
No.
They were the same suit.
If that was a prison suit, then weird prison suit.
I don't know. That's the 1940s London prison suit.
Okay.
Like, they give you a tie, a shirt, a tie, and a jacket.
All right.
Well, then the.
I liked when he was offering a cigar to one of the guys on the way out, and he had to like look over at the other guard, and you're like,
ooh,
you think I should take it? The guard's like, go ahead, take it. He goes, take it. And then he'll just like,
yoinks.
And he laughs and walks away. That was funny.
So the. Like, you don't know.
They really try to play up the these are bad people angle.
Well, what?
They are only bad people in that they are in an action movie and must kill lots of people. Otherwise, they're very upstanding people.
Well, to be fair, like, the glee that they take in killing people
is action movie glee.
It's action movie glee, but it's like not.
It's comical, is what it is.
It's not the stoic hero. It's not the stoic hero that like you kind of get foisted upon you in an action movie.
It's the hey Benny, remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied. That's the kind of bad guy they are.
Yes, but the. I will say though, like if this movie has one fatal flaw for me, it's like. They tell you, it's like, oh, he's bad. Oh, he doesn't listen to orders. Oh, like, well, when we put him in charge of this, like, and we told him not to do it, like, the one thing we did chose him for was, like, he doesn't follow orders, like, sort of deal.
That is kind of an issue. You're right. We don't know enough about his character to know why he would follow these orders for this mission. But not, I guess it's, I have to like invent reasons. I'm assuming it's because he's just a patriotic Brit who wants to complete this mission because he sees the value in it. I imagine that.
Yes.
Because the movie doesn't tell you.
Exactly. But if you told me that like he really likes collecting coats.
He does like collecting coats.
And, like, I will say this. Henry Cavill is not the weak point of the movie. I really enjoyed what he did with it.
He's slightly stronger than all the rest of the characters.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, his sidekick, like, well, his brother got killed. That's why he follows us. Like, it tells us that. It doesn't show us that. Like,
I don't. No, I don't. That's. I want it to tell me more.
I don't
have a problem with how it told me. It did the rundown. I thought. When they said Appleton,
yeah,
the last guy on my crew is Appleton, because he had gone through every character thus far and explained to the higher ups who they are and why they're good.
Yep.
But he's really explaining it to the audience. However, when he gets to Appleton, the higher ups already know who he is and tell Gus.
Well,
he's
was
in
Appleton
this...
one of the real people?
Yes.
Okay. Because it was like him, like the guy that got shot in the shoulder.
Hayes.
Hayes and
Lassen.
Yeah, who, by the way, if you're gonna make any jokes about like a guy getting Hollywooded, Lassen's like the Denville Hammer.
I was kind of funny. It was kind of funny when they showed the real picture of Lassen.
He was skinny as fuck.
He is a skinny as fuck guy. The guy they got for the movie is 7 feet tall.
300 pounds of muscle.
300 pounds of muscle.
But it worked for the movie.
They introduced him as a Swede that spent his youth wrestling bears, and you believe it?
Yep.
But so they get to Appleton and they explain to Gus that, yeah, we know who he is. He's in this prison, so you can't have him. And then Gus goes on to explain to the audience still who Appleton is.
Yeah.
Even though everybody in the room knows who he is.
And you know what? Between the show, the tell not show thing that they did, it's kind of the shallowness of it, but it still works.
I don't really have a problem with how they introduce them.
That's
a time saving thing. I needed to know more about.
You know what we needed? You know the scene in Jaws when they're not trying to hunt the shark, and it's like they're just like hanging out and they're talking about the one dude's talking about the ship that he was on, that like the reason why he hunts sharks is because
black eyes, like a doll's eyes, soulless.
We were 5 minutes short of that.
Oh my god.
Where it's just like,
how long was this movie? It was like an hour five.
It was quick. The movie started at like 6:45, and then we were out around like 8:30. So I would say it was like 70 minutes, 80 minutes, like 90 tops.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, final words, because I'm freezing and I wanted to...
I like it. I wouldn't tell anybody not to go see it. I wouldn't say go out of your way to see it.
All right.
Stream it, definitely.
But did the big screen add to...
Not really.
All right. Because I will say, though, the last shootout where it's like everyone has stormtrooper accuracy, but...
Particularly bad.
It's like, but the... the one did it wasn't me or did the one tugboat get hit by the
cannon?
Cannon,
yeah, several
like
times. Several times.
It's like, okay.
Really shitty cannon.
Like I know
artillery. Well, the artillery.
Are we so used to Hollywood artillery that maybe that was what real artillery looks like and we just didn't?
It hit a wooden tugboat.
With like, was it an exploding round or like a mortar or was it like just like a shell?
It would have gone through the tugboat.
Yeah, and it would have sank, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to say. But, like I said, good movie. I wouldn't stop anybody from watching it. But it's definitely...
It's fun to watch. Probably more fun to watch with a bunch of guys.
Yep.
Our theater was particularly loud, and I didn't really mind.
We didn't have anybody that was, like, narrating the movie. We didn't have anybody that was, like...
We did have that guy shaking his bag of popcorn, though.
I didn't hear that one so much.
It's what I mean. It wasn't a movie where I cared that there were other humans in the theater making noise. That's the kind of movie this is.
Exactly. All right. On that note, peace.
See ya.